Rog, morning to you.
Morning, boys. Welcome back.
Great to be back. Yeah. And we were
fresh,
just...
You're fresh, what? Are you fresh?
Oh, 100%, yes.
Is this first morning tricky or what?
No, bounced in here this morning, Rog.
No, I was ready to go as well.
Oh, good.
Mate, what are you laughing at?
Bed hair. No, serious.
I was up early. I think I was nervous the alarm clock wasn't going to go off this morning, yeah. So
if you want the honest truth, Rog, no. I didn't wake up well this morning.
I was good to go.
The last thing I wanted to do in freezing conditions was to drive in here.
But you're an inspiration.
But I'm an inspiration to a lot of people this morning.
I can feel it.
It's good to be back, mate. Good to be back.
We've just watched Novak complete his victory there in four sets. What did you make of Djokovic this morning, Rog?
He got worried a little in the second set. I guess the champions do. They drop sets. We've generally seen these superstars of the tennis world get through Novak, Roger, Rafa get through, and we expect them to get through comfortably every match, especially in the first week of a major. It doesn't necessarily happen, and his opponent's got some firepower, and he upset him with his weight of shot, I think, for a set. So, and then what Novak does is he adjusts, he works all out in his head as he's going along, and he makes little subtle changes, and to bounce out after losing the second 6-1, 6-2, I guess it shows the quality, and it also shows what effort it takes to get a set off. These guys, the greats, you know, the mental energy around and the physical performance that you need to throw it, just a set of tennis to beat them. You got to remember before they go out, they're already, I guess, you know, a little fatigued around what's going to take place and the energy around how well they feel in their mind they need to play each point, to get a win. So, yeah, so I think, you know, that was, for Novak to lose the set, there's nothing in that. I think it's a good thing he goes up against Jannik Sinner now, who beat Carlos Alcaraz. So that was a clash of some young guys who are going to be around for a decade at the top of our sport. And Sinner's a smooth-moving hitter who also lives in Monaco. He trains a lot with Novak, and that's going to be a really entertaining quarterfinals match that may come up in a couple of days' time.
Rog, tell us about Nick. Is he ever going to change? Because I feel like we all get to see how talented he is, and we all love the way he plays, how good he is, and his style of play, massive serve. But are we expecting too much? Are we expecting him to all of a sudden mature and be a different person, or do you think that is possible?
Well, he's 27 years of age. Generally, you've
gone, when does it come?
you've gone for a few gear shifts by then, generally, and you've sort of got some sort of consistency around what it looks like day in, day out. And it was one of those matches. The number one thing I'll say is when you're an umpire, you're sitting in the chair. Umpire the game and take control of the game. Your job's to take control of the game. And you know there's going to be some dynamics out there. Control the game. Don't need to get involved in the chit-chat. Need to stamp your authority on the game as far as what you're going to accept as far as the respect on the tennis court. And you're not a whipping boy out there. And I think that's what sort of happened a little bit. And then, so you can really sort of, you can temper the dialogue. And, you know, it was volatile. And we did see, as you said, Clarkie, we did see the brilliance of Nick. I mean, there's a point there in the second set where he basically was throwing the point and just hit this lowest percentage shot on a break point to Tsitsipas, which would have given him 5-3 Tsitsipas in the second set, trying to serve it out. It was an incredible shot. No one makes much mention of it, but it was a slap as far as like, oh, well, if it goes in, it goes in. If it doesn't, I'm down a break and I'm, you know, almost two sets in the can. So, but then he's got the firepower to turn it around. And he did know, you know, he's an intelligent tennis player. That we see all the other stuff, but he does have he has a high tennis IQ because he does understand that his opponent is a little afraid of him. He does rattle his opponents. He understands he rattles his opponents with the way he plays and what's going on his side of the court. And he plays on centre court this match. So he's first up on centre court. So for the first time this year, he's into a fourth round. They pulled out of the doubles so he could concentrate on the singles. That was it. That was an interesting thing. That was new. There's no doubt about that. Normally he would play singles and doubles wouldn't really matter. Play mixed doubles wouldn't matter. So in a way he's locking in this is his version of locking in, and you just got to roll with it, I think. And I think we just sort of see what turns up. But I expect him now to get through this first match, this match on centre court. It's going to be, it's a different environment, so it probably centres you a little bit, centre court at Wimbledon. It sort of demands a little bit of respect, that court. And I think we're going to get that from Nick, and he should be too good for Nakashima from the US. A big moment for that young man. He's 56 in the world, and I'm feeling like we're going to get two Aussies in the quarterfinals going toe-to-toe for a semifinals berth.
What's the chances of Nick, though, turning up being a little bit flat after getting himself up against Tsitsipas and, all the bells and whistles that comes with getting yourself ready for a game like that, but then to come up against this lesser-known opponent?
Yeah, good point. And, there can be that for sure. And also, you're in the fourth round, so there's a bit of wear and tear, even though he hasn't had any big, he had a five-setter in his first round, but it's, and he's been able to win comfortably in his second round. The third round took four sets. So there was a bit of energy and emotion around that. There'll be a bit of flatness. The thing with Nick, though, is that we talk about it all the time. He's got his weapons. So he walks up the serve, he can win 3 points. He's not dialing in on having to play every single point on its merits. He sort of can come and go in matches because of the weapons, and it burns him a lot against the big boys. But he's got some cushion, if you know what I mean.
Mm. Okay, so Kyrgios and Demonor, both short price favourites to win their respective games.
By the way, what did you guys think of it? There were calls for they both should have been defaulted. Where do you think it crosses the line? I'm not sure if you saw the match, but from that third and the third and fourth set, we got, halfway through the second, it got a little ugly as far as how much was going on outside of hitting tennis balls.
Well, is Tsitsipas allowed to hit the ball into the crowd?
You can hit one into the...
Was Nick entitled to be blowing up about that?
Yeah, he has. Yeah. He's entitled for that for sure, because it actually, and Nick was right, it actually ricocheted off the wall and hit someone at close range. So... he is right in what he's saying, but they also there's also a grey area.
Time and place.
Two kids. Like, you're on TV, you're playing at the highest level. Both of them are, just get on with it.
Roger, I heard Tsitsipas after the game talk about how he wants to get together and talk about the standards and behaviours going forward of the tennis players. What's the chances of that happening and them all agreeing to it?
No, because we're not going to just put a treadmill of tennis players that come out and we all operate the same way. I think they're as I said, I think the umpire has a say in it. Nick's actually quite right. There, Tsitsipas is probably his weakness in these majors has been, he called him soft. I guess that's a little bit of sportsman's talk in there, but he's probably got an element where he does get off the rails and a little bit and can't handle some of the tennis that's put out there. So I think, there's a bit of that as well. And it's okay for, I think the one thing that happens is, as Stefanos Tsitsipas said, he said, this only happens when I play Nick. And that's the way Nick walks onto the court, and he offers whatever he does on that day. And Nick made a point. He said, look, I know I was in dialogue with the umpire all the time. That's basically what I was doing. But the dialogue's pretty heavy, and as I said, it's the umpire's fault in that situation. I think he can control.
Okay, the other two Aussies. Well, Jason Kubler, great story. He's $4.40 outsider against Taylor Fritz, who's $1.18, and Alia Tomjanovic, slight outsider, $2.05 against Elise Cornet, who's $1.75. Can we make a case for those two?
For Isla, first of all, 100% case. I might have thought that was the other way around. Elise Cornet was going to retire last year. She's a 32-year-old who was going to retire, and she's come back and beat Swiatek. And so was it a massive surprise? I don't think in the locker room it was a massive surprise, because Swiatek is not her most comfortable surface. She's on this big winning streak. It's got to come to an end, and Cornet can play on grass rather well, but what I like from Isla is she's really hitting the ball crisply, but also with authority. She's actually on the court going after it and trying to actually make things happen on the tennis court instead of wait and save points. That's the way she's got through to this position of the tournament. I hope she continues. She was a quarter finalist last year. If she does do that, I think she beats Cornet. I think there'll be enough areas in the on the other side of the court where that she can expose because of the way she hits the ball through the court. Kubler, yes, again. Jack Sock, the player he beat before that, who's one of Nick's best mates, who's American, has huge serve, big forehand. So he's got a lot of big weapons. Pretty shaky on the backhand side, but for Kubler to get through there showed his maturity in his class. He's got a lot of class with the racket and ball, and what happens off his racket face, he can manipulate it quite well. And so on the grass court, there's some value. Taylor Fritz is, having one of his best seasons. There's no doubt about that consistency. And he's got a lot of firepower. He's big, tall. He's got some weapons on all sides of the court. He's a very smart tennis player. Can he win that match? Yeah, he can, for sure. When you're this part of the tournament in the fourth round, it's an unknown space for Taylor Fritz. So it's not like it's regulation for him getting into the fourth round. So I give Kubler a chance in this match. And I guess the first set's really crucial for him to get off to a start and put a bit of pressure on the high seed.
Hopefully it's another great night for Australian tennis. Rog, thank you.
Thanks, boys. Good to have you back.